Now, Lord, we have come to the time in this service when we humble our hearts, prepare our minds, give attention to what your word has to say to us. I ask you for something that I am not worthy of. I ask you to use me, O Lord, as an instrument that you can flow through to touch your people today. For if we're not touched by your spirit and challenged by your word, then we'll leave here disappointed. But God, if you will touch us, if you will enable us and strengthen us, then we will preach your word and people will hear the word and be blessed. Anoint us this morning, God, the hearers of the word and the preacher of the word, that we might together encounter you, O God, in such a special way. That's our prayer in Jesus' holy name. I heard the story of a medical doctor who was riding on a transatlantic flight. In mid-flight, there was a young child near him that passed out and fainted and became unconscious. The stewardess ran back to the aid of a panicking mother, wondering what had happened to her child. And she turned around and the flight attendant announced, "Is there a doctor on this plane?" And there happened to be a doctor on the plane. He got up from his seat and he walked back to the child and examined him. And he said, "He's dehydrated really, really bad, and the pressure at this altitude is making that worse. Said, if you'll get him some orange juice." And they brought some orange juice and gave him some orange juice, and the little fella just perked right up. You see, sometimes when you get a visit from someone who has expertise and know-how, you can experience a miracle. Sometimes when you're visited by someone who is enabled and is intelligent and knows how, then that visit can result in something remarkable. Have you ever had a visit from God that made a change in your life? Have you ever had a visit, an encounter with God that he had the expertise and the knowledge to know how to help you? In fact, the Bible says the Lord knows how to deliver the righteous. The Lord knows how. His ear is cut to their cry. His eye is over their activities. His hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear is not heavy that it cannot hear. Our God is able to do what no other power can do. When he comes to visit, he always changes things. In fact, we're celebrating a Palm Sunday today, and actually Palm Sunday is about a visit that God made to the nation Israel. What began with a garden and what transitioned into a family of Abraham eventually became a nation while in captivity in Egypt, led out into a wilderness by Moses, led in battle in the promised land by Joshua, and eventually became a nation, a nation. You know, the Bible doesn't speak much about democracies and voting and that kind of thing. It actually talks about kings and kingdoms. Kings and kingdoms. In fact, when Jesus came to the world and gave another visitation, the Bible said he came preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is at hand. In fact, the Bible tells us that we all have been translated into the kingdom of his dear son. In fact, we're citizens of a heavenly country. The Bible says that we are, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence we look for the Lord of glory. Praise God. The Bible tells us that all of us are servants of our King who is God. Hallelujah. Our King who is the Lord Jesus. And the Bible tells us that we should serve this King and we should honor this King. I'm telling you today that all of the attributes of our God, we serve him as a king, we worship him as Lord, we follow him as master, we trust him as savior, we pray unto him as our father, and we seek him as the comforter of our soul. What a great God our God is, who wants relationship with every one of us. He wants to know you, and he wants you to know him. He wants to encounter you at the very point of your need this morning. And he has the expertise to know what you need and then give you what you need. Could anybody give the Lord who loves us and delivers us some praise in his house? Like that little boy, we all have needs in our lives, and all of us at some point find ourselves in need of healing, in need of encouragement, deliverance, and peace. And through these encounters that we have with God, that's why it's so important that the Bible said, don't defer and don't put off. Don't put in another class the objective of coming to the Lord's house. He said, as the custom of some is. Why? Because there's all kinds of potential when you come to God's house. There's all kind of potential for healing, potential for deliverance, potential for encouragement, potential to literally be changed by the power of the Word of God and the Spirit of God. That's why he said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, because the potential is there to change your circumstance and change your situation. Can you give God some glory for that? Sometimes we become what Craig Groeschel, a pastor friend of mine, calls a Christian atheist. A Christian atheist. Pastor, those are two oxymorons. That doesn't really go together. A Christian atheist? What is a Christian atheist? A Christian atheist is one who believes in God, but lives like he doesn't exist. It's possible for us to be very religious, but live as if God doesn't even exist. Amen. In fact, it's true about the cultural church in America, that many live their lives just exactly like that, as if he doesn't really exist. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God does exist. And not only does he exist, he is alive and he's well, and he's not been stripped of any of his power. He's not absent of his mind and his intention for us. He is very much alert today to what's going on. And if you think otherwise, you need to be informed that God is in control. While it seems like everything is out of control, it's under control. The God who owns it all is controlling it all. He is a great, great God. There is a term that's called a practical deist, or what Craig calls that Christian atheist. That's someone who believes in God but lives like he doesn't exist. A practical deist is someone who believes that God created the world, wound it up like a giant alarm clock, and then walked off and left it. A practical deist. Well, I want to tell you, God didn't need to wind up any alarm clock. And I need to tell you that God probably doesn't even own an alarm clock, because one thing about that, he's never alarmed. There's nothing ever that dissettles him. There's never anything that comes along that upsets him. I often say, has it ever occurred to you that nothing ever occurs to God? Hallelujah. He's prepared for anything that comes. He's got an answer for every question. He is the God of all eternity. He doesn't need a timepiece. He dwells in eternity. He tells the sun when to come up. He rolls out the heavens every morning. He knows all about chronometers. He knows all about measuring meters. He knows all about rotation of the sun. He knows what time it is. He doesn't need an alarm clock. So our God, to the practical deist, may think he's walked off and ignored us. But I need to tell you, he hasn't abandoned us. He that said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you, is not going to abandon you now. Oh, there are a lot of things that look pessimistic. But I want to tell you, the God who owns it all, his eye is upon the sparrow. His eye is upon the lily of the field. His hand caresses the fall of every bird that falls. And I need to tell you that God will take care of you. The The Lord knows how to deliver them that are His. Oh, hallelujah. Well, could you just praise Him one more time? I like the sound of that. God visits oftentimes for personal deliverance. Personal deliverance. When God visits, He comes, the Bible said, to set the captives free. Has God ever set you free? Have you ever been delivered? Have you ever experienced the emancipation of God's holy presence and God's holy power? Have you ever experienced what they sing about here, the chains falling off? And I hear those chains falling. Have you ever heard the chains fall off? Have you ever heard the squeak of the door when the prison comes wide open and God says you can go free? Hey, those chains that seem to bind you, they'll fall powerless behind you when you simply praise Him and recognize that God has given to you a visitation of His power and His Spirit. Oh, I long to see God visit with us in such a powerful, unmistakable way that no one can but say it was the hand of God that was in our midst. Oh, like Jacob of old said, surely the Lord hath been in this place. I want to tell you, I want to go to a church where people walk out the door saying, surely the presence of the Lord has been in this place. I want to pastor a church that knows what it's like for the presence of God to be in the house. I want to pastor a church that knows about the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of God that gives life in abundance and delivers us, delivers us, delivers us. He breaks every fetter. He breaks every chain. He opens every door. He'll give you liberty and deliverance through the power of the Holy Spirit in His name. Somebody give Him praise. God delivers. Many, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Many, many are the devices that Satan would use to bind you, but the Lord delivers us out of them all. Many are the darts that Satan would hurl in your direction, but the Lord delivers us from them all. Many are the schemes that the devil has and plans that the devil has to destroy the church and destroy God's people and destroy you personally. Our God has delivered us from all of those binding bondages, prisons, chains. Hallelujah. He is a freedom giver. He is a liberating power. He is an emancipating force. He is a God who sets captives free. And if any man be free in Christ, he is free indeed. Not just free, but free indeed. Not just delivered, but delivered indeed. Not just set free, but set free indeed. Woo! Offer unto God thanksgiving. Pay your vows. And call on me in the day of trouble. Anybody ever had a day of trouble? Oh, Glenda, let me tell you, it may be a day of trouble. But He is able to make the sun rise on a dark day. He's able to make light come into a dark place. He's able to change the outcome. Though Satan may have planned failure, God says, I'll give victory. Though the devil may have assigned defeat, God has said, I will deliver you. God is on our side. God is on our side. The Lord is the strength of my life. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid? Or of what shall I fear? The Lord is my salvation. He's my deliverer. He's a deliverer. Whether it be the children of Israel at the Red Sea or the Jordan River, God will part the waters. If it be Noah adrift on the flooded water, he'll find grace in the eyes of the Lord. If it be a prophet named Daniel that is thrown into the lion's den, God will send his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. If it be David fleeing from a murderous enemy or standing courageously before a giant, God's power will defeat the enemy. If it be Pastor Peter in prison, the church will pray and God will send an angel and doors will fly open and God's pastor will walk out of that prison. Woo! Hallelujah. If it be Paul in the Philippian jail while they sing praises at midnight, God's power will shake the chains off and he'll open the doors and he'll shake off the shackles and a jailer will get saved and God's people will be set free. If it's John the apostle banished to an isle of Patmos where not even a blade of grass will grow, God himself, Jesus, will come down and walk in the midst of the candlesticks and say, I am Alpha and I'm Omega. I'm the first and I'm the last, and I'm he that was dead, but behold, I'm alive forevermore. God himself will pull back the panorama of heaven and let him look to behold all that will take place in the end time. Oh, let me tell you, God's hand is upon all of history. God hasn't given up on this. God hasn't abandoned his church. He said, I will deliver you and thou shalt glorify me. Hebrews 11 tells us this, who through faith they subdued kingdoms. They wrought righteousness. They obtained promises. They stopped the mouths of lions. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight, turned to flight the armies of their enemies. Hey, if God be for you, who could be against you? If the God who delivers us from all things is on your side, then nothing, water won't overflow you. Fire won't consume you, because our God will make a way for you in every temptation, in every difficulty, in every hardship. God said, I'll make a way for your deliverance. Somebody shout glory to God in this house. So charged up, Pastor, about Easter and Palm Sunday, because we had an issue. We had a problem. We had a difficulty in 2 Corinthians 1 and 9, but we had the sentence of death on ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Woo! He could have said, God who rolled back the waters of the Red Sea. He could have said the God who shut the mouths of the lions. Could have said the God who appeared in the furnace with the Hebrews. But he said the God, our trust, our faith is in the God who raises dead people. In fact, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Let me tell you, if there be no resurrection, then is Christ not risen? If there be no resurrection, our preaching is vain. We are found false witnesses of God because we've testified that God raised him up. But if Christ be not risen, our preaching is vain, and we are yet in our sins. What I'm telling you is, if there is no Easter, if it all stopped right there, if it all stopped right there, if that was the end, then we are of all men most miserable. If when he said it is finished, if that was the end of it, then we're yet in our sins. We're lost, having no hope, and without God in this world. But I'm here to tell you, my good friend, that is not the end. Oh! I'm here to announce to you today that he is not here. He's not here. He's not here. He's not in that tomb. He's not on that cross. But he's alive. You say he's alive? Yes, he's alive. He's alive in the presence of God. He's in the throne room, standing at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for you, and he's making intercession for me and for every other person in this house. Everybody that names the name of Jesus, he is in the presence of God right now, interceding for you. Ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in the God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. He has delivered, he is delivering, and he will keep on delivering in the future. He's not going to change. He's not going to give it up. He's going to keep on delivering. He's delivered in the past. He delivers in the present. He'll deliver in the future. Delivered us from what? Delivered us from that sentence of death. Delivered us from the torment and the terror of the devil. His grace is so sufficient that it's called amazing. His love is so abundant that it's called boundless. His birth is so unique that it's called immaculate. His works are so extraordinary, they're called miracles. His name is so lovely that there's salvation in no other. His obedience was so perfect that the Father was well pleased. His sovereignty is so great that all things consist by the word of his mouth. His mercy is so consistent that it's called everlasting. His touch is so compelling that its power causes blind eyes to see. His preaching was so powerful that never a man spake like this man. His redemption is so inclusive that it's called justification. His blood is so atoning that it's called precious. Woo! His life is so peerless that he's called the desire of all nations. His death is so vicarious that it's called the propitiation. His resurrection is so critical that it's called the cornerstone of the Christian faith. I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is alive. He's in control. He's delivering. He's setting people free. He's healing brokenness. He's binding up wounds. He's encouraging hearts. He's doing what God does. Well, hallelujah. Galatians 4:4 says, when the fullness of time was come, God said, it's time to visit. It's time to visit. 400 years they hadn't had a word. They need a word. I'm going to pay them a visit. God said, I want a visit. If God sent you a questionnaire and said, I want to visit you, what would the response be? Come on over. Come on over. God, tell me when and where. Tell me when and where. If God were to ask you, can I come for a visit? Would you say, well, I've got other things to do? No. God says, I want to come visit with you. And say, I'm sorry, God, I've got other plans. Come on, somebody in this house. Brother, when God wants to come visit, he wants to deliver. He wants to heal. He wants to set people free. Hey, anytime God offers, you need to say, yes, yes, yes. Come on, come on. Come on down, Holy Ghost. Come on down, Spirit of God. Come on down, anointing of the Most Holy. Come on down, our great provider, God. Come on down, Jesus. Come on down. Holy Spirit, come on down. Four, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, which is his body. Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Jesus is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Wow. Are you getting that? Drew, could I borrow you for just a minute? Would you come up here? I know you don't like to be a sermon illustration. I've had a few bad experiences at that myself. Jerry, come here. You're young and able to jump and run. I need you to get down on your knees. I'm sorry. Not you. What are you doing, Pastor? When you come, put your hands up like this. An Israeli man, when he prayed, the posture was that right there. That's the way an Israeli man postured himself when he prayed. Open palms up like this, up to God. What he was saying was, I'm empty. I'm empty. I need filling. I need something to come into me that will make me feel satisfied. I need to ingest something into my spirit man that will make me satisfied, my hunger, my thirst. I want to be filled. I want to be filled up. God says, I've got the fullness right over here. This is the fullness. I'm the one that fills, God said. God said, I'm going to take the fullness that is in Jesus, and I'm going to fill you up with the fullness. What's he saying? He's saying, I've got Jesus, and Jesus satisfies. Jesus quenches your thirst. Jesus satisfies your hunger. I'll fill you up with Jesus, and Jesus will make you satisfied. Glory to God. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, Jerry. The one who filleth, the fullness is in his body. The fullness is in his body. Wow. The fullness, everybody say that. The fullness is in his body. Well, now they took his body, Pastor, and they nailed it to a cross. Nailing our sins to his cross. And then they took his body down, which is our fullness. Amen. Our fullness. And they took that body and they put it in a tomb. And they were satisfied. They had silenced. And defeated and killed God. Hell had a party. The devil danced with glee. Imps and devils and demons rejoiced and sung their victory song. Soldiers stood watch over that tomb, and the king of the earth, Caesar, set his seal on that rock and said, nobody moves this rock. The Caesar, the king, has declared this seal must not be broken. But there is a king who is greater than all kings. In fact, they call him King of Kings. And that king of all kings had little regard for the seal of Rome. Because our fullness was laying in that tomb. And while the world thought, no more Jesus, while the disciples were bewildered and frightful and fearful, God sent an angel, and the angel came, rolled away the stone, and our fullness, which is in his body, our fullness arose triumphant, defeating death, defeating hell, defeating the grave, defeating the sentence of death, breaking the chains, breaking the bondage, breaking the curse, breaking the terror, breaking the fear, breaking all the worry and the frustration and the anxiety. Glory. When Jesus arose on that third day, our fullness arose. And when those disciples walked out on the edge of Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1, and our fullness began ascending up into the heavens, an angel said, this same Jesus, this same Jesus, which you see going away into heaven, shall come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. My fullness ascended up to the presence of God. My fullness this morning is standing at the right hand of the Father. He's the first fruits of them that slept. Hallelujah. He is the fullness of my faith. He is the fullness of my joy. He's the fullness of my peace. He's the fullness of my courage. He's the fullness of my stamina. He's the fullness of my expectation. He's the fullness of my life. He's the fullness of my word. He's the fullness of my family. He's my fullness. Are you confident that your fullness is arrived this morning? Which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell. Colossians 2:9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Thanks be to God. So then in AD 33, we find a pilgrimage. We find disciples that are following one they call Master. Come on, Connor. Following one they call Master. And as they follow him, they are dismayed when they hear him say words like, for the Son of Man must go to Jerusalem and must be delivered into the hands of sinners and be killed. The disciples had little understanding of what he was talking about. But Jesus knew the purpose. He said, for this purpose I came into the world. For this purpose, that our fullness might be ours and owned by all of us. Jesus did what he did for us. Oh, Isaiah said, surely he hath borne our sorrows. The iniquity of us all was placed upon him. He was bruised for our iniquity. What a wonderful offering the Lord Jesus became for every one of us. But our fullness is poised now outside the city, and he tells his disciples to go into Jerusalem. Matthew 21 tells them, go into Jerusalem. And he said, you'll find a donkey tied to a hitching post, and there'll be a foal there. There'll be a colt there with that donkey. And said, go and fetch them and bring them to me. And he said, if any man should ask you, tell him the master has need of him. Anybody ever put something in the hands of the Lord and he blessed it? I said, have you ever loaned the Lord something? Have you ever said, Lord, you can use me? Have you ever said, Lord, you can take whatever I got and use it? You can use my job, you can use my car, you can use my talent, you can use my ability. Whatever you want to do that I've got, Lord, you can have it. Oh, my. Well, those two animals represent for us, they're symbolic. He said both of them would be tied at a hitching post. Now, there was a colt there, there was a donkey there, and there was a foal, the colt. And the Bible said that when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he rode on the colt. He rode on the foal. The hitching post there is the joining place of the two testaments, of the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament, glory to God, brings us to the hitching post where the New Testament takes over. And they're hitched and they're joined together. They both work together. But when Jesus rode, he rode on the New Testament. Rode on the new one. Brother Irwin, why did Jesus ride a donkey? You said he came as a king. Kings ride horses in those great parades. They have usually a stallion gleaming, dressed with all kind of rhinestones and leather. Why did he go on a donkey? Because a donkey is symbolic of servitude. A donkey is a burden bearer. A donkey is a burden bearer. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he rode on a symbol of burden bearing, because what he was doing was he was coming to bear our burdens in himself. He was going to the cross. He was going the way of God's intention so that we could have fullness. Fullness. Stand with me, please. Glory to God. I told God, sitting over there in that chair, I said, God, I need a hot congregation to preach a hot message to today. What I need you to know is the burden bearer has already borne the burden for you. So now he says to you, cast all of your burdens, cast all of your care, cast all of your fear, cast all of your worry, cast all of your doubt, cast all of your problem, cast all of your hardship, cast all of your difficulty upon me. For he careth, he beareth burdens for you. He cares for you. I want us on this Palm Sunday to pray a prayer, and I need you to come right up here with me and gather you around me, because I want to pray for you. Don't you do like those Israelis now. And Jesus said, how oft would I have gathered you as a hen would gather brood, but you would not. God wants to gather us unto him. I want Harvest Church this morning to make an appearance before the throne room. Our fullness is waiting for us. I said, our fullness is waiting for us. Brother Jerry, I've been running on about half empty. Well, you can be full when you leave here. Because the fullness, I said the fullness, he that filleth, Wouldn't you like to just pull up in God's service station of love and grace and say, fill her up? Wouldn't you love to come to God's repository and say, Lord, fill me up. Lord, fill me up. Lord, fill me up. Lord, fill me up. Somehow the Lord spoke to me and said, some need to empty out so that I can fill them up. Lord, 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 we better pray that prayer first then, hadn't we? Ready to pray it? Dear Lord Jesus, you know my heart. You know my mind. You know my commitment. Right now in your presence, your spirit searches hearts. And I ask you, in the name of Jesus, to take out of my heart anything that's displeasing to you. Every carnal attitude, every fleshly habit, every carnal desire, every sin that is in my heart, purge me, cleanse me, and wash me, and I will be clean. In Jesus' name, I trust you now to wash me in your blood, cleanse me of all things, and in Jesus' name, right now, I accept your cleansing, white as snow, white like wool, in the name of Jesus, right now, in Jesus' name. You ought to feel right now kind of like that, kind of lifted. Now that you've got that off of you. They're nailed to his cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, my soul, it is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Oh, the devil don't like that. Oh, he hates that. Hates it. One more, and then we'll pray that other prayer and get filled up, all right? Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that his blessed face may be seen. Nothing between my soul shall not sever. Keep the way clear, let nothing between. Say it with me. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Whoa! That's making the devil so mad he's getting a black eye every time you say that. Will you say it one more time? Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Whoa! You know why he's so mad? He's mad because he lost something. Thought he had a stronghold, but he lost it. Thought he'd made an inroad, but he lost it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. My sins are gone. I bear it no more. Woo! Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Woo! I see the devil cowering away. Oh, he don't like it. Doesn't like it. Doesn't like it. Now that we got you emptied out, now that sin is gone, carnality is gone, fleshly, all gone, are you ready to be filled by the filler? He that filleth with the fullness. Be filled with the fullness by him that filleth. That's word of God. That ain't Jerry Irwin. That's word of God. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to be filled. My vessel is clean. My heart is open. Fill me, God, with all of your grace, all of your mercy, all of your love, all of your faith, all of your spirit. In Jesus' name, right now, I claim my possession. In Jesus' name, I am healed. I am blessed. I am delivered. I am restored. And in Jesus' name, I stand complete in God, full of his blessing. In Jesus' name. Now, when you're sitting at the dinner table and somebody asks, what happened at church today? You tell them, I got filled. When somebody says, you seem different than you were when you went to church, oh, I am, I got filled. You have a testimony all day today and all this week. When everybody asks you, if any man asks you concerning the faith that lieth with, oh, I'm filled. Where did you get filled? The filler, he that filleth, filled me. Glory to God. What did he fill you with? Fullness. Filled me with fullness. What is that fullness? Jesus. Jesus is the fullness. And he filled me full of Jesus. Filled me full of Jesus. My Lord, there's no foe that can defeat you if you're filled with Jesus. Because you know what he does? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and I'm full of it. Are you full of it? I'm full of it. Glory to God, I'm full of it. Missy, are you full of it? Full of it. Glory to God. Tina, you full of it? Better believe it. Full of it. Rodney, full of it? Full of it. Praise God. Brother Billy, you full of it? Better believe I am. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Harry, are you full of it? Full of it, preacher. I'm full of it. Glory to God. Jeff, come here, buddy. You got 1 minute, 2 minutes. He won't take long if you'll give him 2 minutes. You want to hear a testimony about somebody that God did something great for? Come up here. We're made overcomers by the word of our testimony. Jeff, I want you to tell these people what God did for you.
Well, 2 years ago, you know, I was searching. Closer. I'm not seasoned like you. Yeah. But I was going through a time and was searching for some answers, praying. And there was a, I watched a man. Well, now that I come to church, I watch many of y'all that walk the walk and talk the talk. And but I watched this one man, and I wanted that. I wanted what he had. And I asked him to put me on his prayer list. Yes. He did. Then he asked me to come to church. That man's Ray Guthrie. But once I came, and once I came, I knew, I said, I'm going to visit different churches. So I took a walk to that door. I said, no, nah, I'm here. Yeah. And then, I thank God that he brought me here. I'm glad he put Ray in my path. But I shared it on Wednesday, or Wednesday before that, and back up 32, 33 years. I'm like 35, but you know, that was my dad. He wasn't around a whole lot, drank in and out. I had a teacher too. He kind of took me under his wing. That man's Mr. Willis, James Willis. There's some people that leave impressions on your life, and he was one of them. Saw him when I come in. Ray brought me, or God brought Ray to me, and then when I came and saw Mr. Willis, I was like, yeah, I'm doing deal now. But
amen. Are you full?
I'm full.
I'm full. Glory to God. Thank you, God. Isn't that a great testimony? Isn't that a great testimony? That somebody influenced somebody. First he just said, I'm going through something bad. Would you help me and put me on your prayer list? Then he said, well, you need to go to church with me. That's how that started. And now what a wonderful thing's happened for Jeff, and we're thankful for it. I'm so thankful. I'm looking forward to next Sunday, aren't you? Sunday morning. Sunday morning. Sunday's coming. Glory to God. We're going to have a great time. Father, I thank you for what you did in this altar today. God, there are times when we just have to come back to you. We just have to get on our knees and lift our eyes up to you and say, Lord, I need you to empty me out, and I need you to put the fullness of God back in me, God. Lord, I thank you. You did that for so many people this morning. May we go on the strength of that, God, I pray, in the strong name of Jesus. Dismiss us from this place, but not your sight. In the name of the Lord, amen. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. Better be friendly whether you shake hands or not.